You mentioned too that you were involved in some industrial construction as well. And so what parts of Burnaby were the industrial
Well, the prime
hotspots?
area that I did, like we lived in the Ford Lane area, of course, which was today is the Metrotown area. And the industrial area was immediately Kingsway from probably Willingdon right through, to some degree, right through to, oh, Spurling, something like this here. And that was an M4 district, which was light industrial, automotive supplies, repairs, construction, offices, this sort of thing.
And Kelly Douglas was in there, and Sears eventually built in there.
Kelly Douglas was in there, and let's see now, Kelly Douglas. Well, going back again in history, there was the Ford plant. And you may be familiar with that. They actually did actually assemble a few Ford cars there, but it was a promotion thing, and they were giving the cars away. And actually, one of the fellows that did all our windows, he actually got one, and I never knew that for years after. I wondered how come he had such a nice car, you know. But anyway, yes, and that was that. I don't know if that went into Kelly Douglas. It became the jam factory for Empress Jams. Would that be Kelly Douglas?
I'm not sure. I'll have to check
Anyway,
on that.
that was the Ford plant. Now, whether they leased it, bought it, or what, I have no idea. But then we progress along again, another generation perhaps. And one night I ran into Bill DeWarne, who was the mayor of Burnaby at that time, and he was just 3 feet off the floor. I said, "Bill, what the heck's happening?" And he said, "Well, we just closed the thing where we're going to put in a whole, what we're going to call Metrotown." And he said, "The Ford plant has just been sold." And he says, this is not to be spread around." No. He was just so excited. And that was the start of the progression of Metrotown. And yet that particular aspect of it wasn't Metrotown
No,
in its
about when
sense.
was that? I mean, because Metrotown proper as a mall
Oh,
was like 1980s.
well, we went
So
in
quite a bit.
there, say, in the 70. Now, they were building Sears at that time.
So mid-50s, early mid-50s.
It was after that, in the 60s.
Okay.
Yeah, it would have to be in the 60s, for sure. Yeah, I think it was about then. But anyway, they built Sears at that time. And now, of course, it's progressed into Metrotown. But in the meantime, all the apartments around there were built. Of course, once you have a central core, then things build out from that. So it was quite the deal.
Yeah. Now, how were relations with, municipal regulations? Was Burnaby any different than other communities in terms of how you went about building and where you built?
Not really. Not really. They were quite bureaucratic, very individual. Just as I came in here this morning, we passed an area where I handled 3.5 acres of property. Now today, that is the Edmonds train station for
The
the
SkyTrain?
SkyTrain. And we were just back of that, and there was a couple of parcels like that, 3.5 acres that we handled in there. And I went into, like, this adjoined a park, and it also had a waterway through it, which made it a little bit difficult because you had all the regulations to deal with a creek. And so I went to Burnaby and I said, "Well, I have this property for sale. It's adjoining your park. Perhaps you would like to think about adding it to the park because it's very suitable for it." And I was just chastised to some degree. It was like, "If we want to buy something, we'll come and see you. Don't you bother even coming in talking to us," etc., etc. Okay, now we fast forward. We know, I won't use the name because it was the owner's name of the property, but okay, we sold it. I sold it to a company that needed it for a building to expand their operations, and they're a very major corporation in their field, which was mattresses, a name that you would know instantly. And they went in to take out permits. When they finally got it, there was a lawsuit involved and quite a few things. This was quite a deal. Yeah, this was a big deal in that day. Today it would run in the multi-millions, perhaps. Mm-hmm. In those days, I don't quite remember what it was, maybe $350,000 or something like this year was the purchase price. And they went in to take out their permits, and they got stalled until finally they got some lawyers involved and said, what's going on here? And City of Burnaby said, well, we just might want to annex it to our park.
Hmm.
At that point, they traded them for about 5 acres, not too far from there, which these fellows have put in an industrial park today. It still stands and has made a multi-million-dollar fortune for them.
Hmm.
And all because our bureaucratic system in Burnaby would not listen to anything.
Yeah.
So that was the start of that one, anyway.
Now, I'm curious, too, you mentioned something about creek regulations and parks. Were there any sort of environmental regulations about how you did your work in that era?
Environmental in what respect?
Well, I'm wondering, disposal of leftover materials.
Oh, no. No, we started fire in the backyard, and we got rid of most of it.
And I've heard that some of the ravines in South Burnaby often got filled up with garbage as well.
I would imagine it could have happened. I wouldn't have known about any of that.
But all the refuse, all the leftovers usually got burned?
Yeah, usually, or we'd chop it up, we'd take it. We all had fireplaces.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was pretty good material to take home. You know, we always had a trunk full.
Right. How about, I'm thinking of, stuccoed sidings with the plaster and stucco. I guess you probably didn't want to waste much of it in the first place.
No.
You didn't want to have leftover.
No, there was not a lot of surplus in those days. Everything was very refined. I don't know if it was the last house we built, but the one I'm thinking of, my wife kept the books on that, and we were within $150 of the estimated price when we were finished on our costs, which was really unheard of. But no, all the surplus was taken care of, and of course we had stucco in those days, and we had progressed from wooden lath behind, which we... like on the inside, which then you had plaster went on top of that. We've progressed to gyprock lath, it was called, which went on first, just like the gyprock sheets we have today, only they were just 16 by 48 inch sheets, and they were lath in place of the wooden lath that was there before. And then you plastered on top of that, which was a two-coat process, the brown coat and then the finish. And the finish was a lime finish. That was where the white came in.
Okay.
And this lime, there was a lime company, came out with a truck, and you had a big box which you poured the lime into, and it was mixed up on site into the stucco or the plaster that you needed. And the stucco was nominal. It's just a real poor concrete, really.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it was.
Right, right. And you mentioned creek regulations, so if you were building near a creek, you had to be careful not to slop stuff into the creek?
Oh, absolutely. You didn't slop anything into a creek anyway. I don't ever recall being anywhere near anything where we had to do anything like that. But there was always fisheries regulations and things like this year, which...
Oh, really? Even going back 50, 60 years,
oh, yeah.
Fisheries regulations on that.
But, you know, there was so much land in those days, you just avoided those sites.
Oh, I see.
You didn't need to go there. That's why the 3.5 acres was there.
Mm.
It was actually a multimillionaire's retreat. He disappeared to get away from his family life and his business life.
Mm-hmm.
He would go out there on weekends and watch football games. And I think it was his sister who maintained the property.
Mm.
It was just a little farm, a greenhouse. And it was just like you were living in the way up country.